This morning we have a pleasure and an honor of having some missionaries with us. And when I say missionaries, I mean not like some of us have done and gone on mission trips, but they are full-time missionaries. And Father Martin Rietzis was a full-time missionary in Albania, and we have Deacon Stefanos Rietzis, who is his son, who is also now in Albania. Father Martin is the executive director of the Orthodox Christian Mission Center in Florida. So I've asked Father Stefanos to explain and tell you a few things about his missionary efforts in Albania. Also, as you came in, you should have received a little introductory card to who Father Stefanos is and what the OCMC is. And I would like to encourage everyone prayerfully to give as much as you can towards this effort. If you'd like to learn more about his mission, it would be a great opportunity during the coffee hour to go and to speak to either one. Okay? So, Father Stefanos.
Thank you, Father. You're
blessed. And he was, by the way, the language that you didn't understand today was not the usual Greek. It was Albanian.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here together with you inside Charlotte. It's been about 4.5 years since me and my wife drove through here the first time, and it was wonderful to be reminded of the hospitality that native Charlottians have when we spent the night with Father John Wallace and his presbytera last night. So thank you again for having us at your church. We also were reminded of something very important. This is NFL season, and the Panthers are playing today. So thank you for having us together with you today. Also, I'd like to note that inside Albania, it's a country far, far away on the other side of the world. But despite that, we still use Aegis from Father Seraphim, and it's a great blessing for us native English speakers to be able to read through all the services and to be able to have that tool at our disposal. So thank you. In today's gospel, we are exhorted to listen. Christ is proclaiming, "Let us be attentive. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What an amazing gift that we have been given to be able to hear. As you speak, your diaphragm, your vocal cords, your throat, your mouth, your teeth, your tongue, all of these parts of your bodies work together to create sound waves. This process in itself is amazing. But what's more amazing is that we've also been created with ears, something that can take those sound waves and decode them into something that is meaningful to us inside our brains. We have been given ears so that we might hear. Christ today reminds us, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In our society today, this can sometimes be a struggle. There's so much going on around me. How do I decide what should I listen to? And then when I finally decide what I'm going to listen to, all of a sudden there's a notification on my phone saying, "Oh, you have a new like on Facebook. You got a new message on WhatsApp." It's difficult inside today's society. Despite the effort we must exert to listen here inside the United States, we have been given a gift that we can decide whether or not we want to listen. Today, I want to tell you about a place in the world that tried to relegate the word Christian to a piece of its distant past. I want to tell you about a part of a world that the country tried to cover the people's ears, tried to force them to not be able to listen. Today, I want to tell you about Albania and the work that is going on inside that country. 4 years ago, my wife Alexandria and I embarked on our journey to become missionaries inside Albania. As we reflect on those 4 years inside Albania, sometimes we wonder, why did we leave the United States? Why did we decide to go to Albania, all the way away from our family in this beautiful country? A story that illustrates this can be taken from deep within the Peruvian jungles. There's a native group over there called the Bora people. They became Christian. After they became Christian, their entire lives became more gentle. Their contact with outsiders had always been marked by violence. So one day, an anthropologist comes to the Bora people to study them. He's like, hey guys, come on, Christianity's for white people. Why in the world would you forsake your old beliefs and go and become Christian? An old native leader was saying, yeah, you know, you have a point there. But if we went back to our old ways, you would be the first one in the pot for lunch today. So this story makes a little bit of light of the situation, but it also captures a raw truth about missions. Missions is always a journey into the light and into the joy of Christ. To quote Archbishop Anastasios of Albania, our church invites us to an exodus from the atmosphere of fear and turmoil, to the realm of hope and peace, from ignorance to divine truth, from the darkness of sin to the light of life in Christ, from the isolation of our egoism to an active love and community in Christ. Today, Albania is in the midst of a miraculous resurrection. It is going from the darkness of its communist period into the light of Christ once again. This journey is encapsulated by the words of Nikolin, a young Albanian doctor. He was sitting with us one day and we're like, Nikolin, what difference does Christianity make to you inside your life? It's like, you know, if I wasn't Christian, I would still be a good person, I would still follow the rules, but I would be cold. As a Christian, we cannot be cold. Before I go on, I want to tell you a little bit about Albania. Christianity was brought to Albania by Saint Paul. By the 4th century, the entire country had become Christian. But then after that, Albania suffered many persecutions, including 500 years of Ottoman occupation. The country resisted, remained Christian for 300 of those years. But by the end of those 500 years, 70% of Albania had become Muslim. In 1912, Albania gained its independence, and after World War II, Albania became communist. When Albania became communist, they became the only country in the world to constitutionally outlaw religion. All churches were taken. They were made into depots. They were made into hotels. They were made into bars. Or they were destroyed. People, if they made the sign of the cross, they would be taken and put in jail. If they found out that you were Christian, you could be taken and put inside jail. And while you're in jail, this isn't like the federal penitentiary here inside the United States, but it's a jail that you get tortured at while you're in. So the people of Albania suffered a lot during this time. It left deep wounds on the people. I remember talking with an old man who had been Christian before communism. The stories that he told sound like they could have been taken out of George Orwell's 1984. They sound like they could have been taken out of the Hunger Games. They're so horrific. He was telling me, one time, he showed up to school. They had a meeting with the teachers. They're like, guys, guess what? Now you're going to teach this new curriculum. And in this new curriculum, you're going to teach how God is just a myth. You're going to deny your God in front of your students and teach them that that's right. He was distraught. He goes home. He speaks with his dad. Dad, what am I supposed to do? I can't deny my faith. I can't go and teach this lesson that they're trying to make me teach. But if I don't, they said, I'm going to go to prison. And not just me, they said our entire family is going to go to prison. He struggled with this decision for a while, but eventually he decided to teach this curriculum. 40 years later, as he's telling me this story, tears are falling down this old man's face. There was much suffering that happened inside Albania. After the fall of communism inside Albania, religious freedom once again returned to the country. Archbishop Anastasios was sent to Albania to assess the situation. The people asked him to stay. In 1992, I went there as a child together with my father and the rest of my family. While we were there, it was a difficult time. I remember being a young child, living in the capital of the country, and going for weeks without electricity. I remember having to drive to Greece to go and buy sugar, to go and buy flour, because it wasn't available inside Albania. Despite all of the struggles that the people faced, however, I remember the joy that the people had when they were finally again able to hear the words of God. I remember the joy of the people doing something that we take for granted, coming to church here on Sunday, receiving communion. It was a beautiful time to be inside Albania. Since 1992, much has changed. Over 165 Albanian clergy have been ordained. Over 800 people are employed by the church in Albania. 230 churches have been returned and restored and rebuilt, while another 150 churches have been built anew. The church has built over 70 clinics, schools, old age homes, youth centers, and soup kitchens. People flock to church. In every liturgy, we are called to commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God. This is the ultimate goal in our life, our attempt to run towards Christ. Each person is called to do this inside a unique way. And as Orthodox Christians, here inside America and here inside Charlotte, you have been an instrumental part of the resurrection of the church in Albania. You may be wondering, if all these great things have happened in Albania, why do we still need to be doing missions there? Much has happened. It's true, the church has grown. But there are still 2.1 million people, 70% of the population, who do not know the hope, the love, and the joy of Christ. Just to wrap up, I remember two stories that were told to me that illustrate this. Once, as I was getting prepared to be ordained a deacon, I was speaking with some of the clergy in Tirana, and saying, guys, what's it like to be a deacon here inside Albania? They said, Stefanos, you live on Ruga Kavaja. Every day when you walk to the cathedral, you're going to pass this one mosque. When you pass that one mosque, dressed inside your rasul, sometimes people might spit at you. I've been a deacon for 3.5 years there now, and thank God, most of the time people greet you salam aleikum, which is a very respectful greeting inside the Muslim world. But there are occasions that people are disrespectful. Another story that illustrates this was one of our best friends is a priest. And he spoke on national television one day, and he spoke about the church. He's pretty charismatic, so he did a great job speaking about the church. A couple days later, he gets an anonymous phone call. They're like, Father, you know, you better be careful what you say on television. We know that you built your house during the time where the government wasn't giving permits and that you don't have a permit. We might go and tell them, go look at your house and try and find its permit. It might get confiscated. You might have to deal with huge amounts of bureaucratic process that in Albania functions with bribes. Or even worse, they might go and they might narc down his house. So Albania is still facing struggles. Here in America, we must remember that missions work is given as a commandment to us by Christ. Missions forces us to help our neighbor and thereby to become truly Christian. We thank you and your community for all the work that you do throughout the world in missions. As missionaries inside Albania, we're tasked with different responsibilities. I serve as a deacon at the Resurrection of Christ Cathedral. I'm also working on my doctorate at Aristotle University in Thessaloniki. I teach at the seminary inside Albania. And in addition to that, I work with the young adults and inside the office of the Archbishop. My wife, who's not with us here today, she's inside St. Augustine, Florida right now. But she is a photographer for the church, and she teaches at one of the church's schools that has over 700 students, of which 80-90% are Muslim. I also have one son, Moses Anastasios, who's 2.5 years old now, and he's growing up really quick. So once again, we thank you for all of the work that you do to support missions. I remember one person who likened missions to General Rommel's campaign inside World War II. When you look at the campaign during World War II, you'll see that General Rommel initially was winning. He was a brilliant general and had a lot of success. But as we all know, General Rommel and the Germans eventually lost World War II. When historians went back to look and to see why did General Rommel lose, they saw it wasn't because the Allies found a better general. It wasn't because the Allies had this amazing army. It was because the Allies had an amazing supply operation. The Germans did not. Missions is like that. As missionaries with a front line, as churches here inside the United States, churches in Greece, churches in Russia, you guys are the supply line. We're linked together. If the supply lines are strong, we can do our work. If the supply lines are weak, it's impossible to work. And the same thing, here inside the United States, as a supply operation, if we don't have those people doing missions out inside the rest of the world on our behalf, we aren't living out our calling as Christians. And that would hinder our growth as Christians, as individuals, and as a church. So once again, thank you all. It was wonderful to be with you all today again. If you ever visit Greece, please come to Albania. You can get there about 7-8 hours by bus, and would like to host you inside our house, but please just not all at the same time.